September sky, watching as clouds whip by. We confess everything to each other, standing next to you.
Hey everybody, welcome to Adventure Retired, the podcast where retired people share what they are doing in their retirement to help inspire you to live your best retired life. We are Kurt and Cindy Liljedahl, your hosts, and today we're going to talk to Deb and Tim.
Yeah, Deb and Tim seem like they do a lot of traveling around the world.
Yeah, I think they are one of those couples that retired and have chosen to live everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they consider themselves the FIRE movement,
we'll
financially independent, retire early. But yeah, I'm excited to talk to them.
I am too.
Hey, I wanted to mention one thing before we get going here. That music you hear at the beginning and the end of our podcast.
That great music.
That's our daughter, just so you know. We're quite proud of her. She wrote a song while she was in high school.
She wrote quite a few songs.
Yeah, and we figured we could use it for the podcast, and we don't have to pay anybody copyright.
That's right. So. We own that song.
That's right. But anyway, I wanted to give Mackenzie a shout-out on that. We love our girls. Okay, let's get on with the show.
All right. Hey, no, you have to do your life lesson.
Well, let's
do it.
You
forgot about it.
Let's do it.
All right, so what is your life lesson today?
Today's life lesson is a day you don't laugh is a day you don't live.
Oh, that's us.
This was my senior class of 79, baby. This was my senior class quote. And
Wait. 79? You're that old?
1979.
Well, there was the first laugh.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But anyway, whenever you do things, try and have fun doing it. I remember my brothers and I used to be out. Dad would tell us to go out, and we'd have to clean the pig stalls and everything. And we would still have fun doing it because
it's a pretty crappy job.
Yeah, it's a very crappy job. But we'd have fun doing it, and we'd sing songs, and there might be a little pig poo thrown around.
I can't imagine that.
Hard to believe. Even teaching physics all those years, I tried to make it fun for the kids. You don't want to be that stuffy teacher. You want people to have fun, and it's a proven fact that you learn better when you're having fun.
That's right. All right,
so let's get on with the show.
All right. We're so excited to have Deb and Tim with us. First of all, tell us where you are coming from.
We are currently in Brussels, Belgium, where we've been for almost 2 months.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Brussels. That's neat. That's neat.
Have we ever been to Brussels?
No.
I think we've been to Belgium, though.
Yeah, we've been to Belgium.
But I don't think we've been to
Brussels.
No. So cool. All right. We always start our podcast asking the questions. What did you do before you retired, and how long have you been retired? So, Tim, why don't you start?
Well, we've been retired a little over 3 years, and I was a mechanical engineer. I worked for 3M Company working with abrasives, sandpaper, and all that scratchy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
I developed automated systems for testing abrasives.
Okay.
So I designed machines that would turn expensive metals into dust.
Okay.
Just so we could better abrasives.
Okay, cool. And Deb?
And I was a music teacher in K-12 schools, mostly elementary after a while, for about 25 years, and I taught band and strings and elementary music.
Oh, cool. We're retired teachers too, and it's always great to talk to a fellow teacher. Yes. So many stories that we can tell, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
You're coming to us from Belgium. Wow. What's it like there today?
Today it's a little rainy. Actually, the morning started out very nice. We got some good walks in, but it started raining about an hour or so ago here. It's currently about 4 p.m.
Okay.
And so we're indoors. You might be able to hear the rain off the skylights in the apartment.
Okay. Now, this adventure you're on, okay, first of all, are you guys considered like FIRE, the FIRE movement, financially independent, retire early, or you paid your dues and you...
I guess if anything, would maybe be in the slow burn category.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think the FIRE movement is interesting. I think it's great that people have these goals. We never had an interest or a plan to retire in our 30s, let's say, or 40s.
Right.
The plan was always to retire early, and how early just depended on how finances worked out and how life worked out. And we have always been very good at saving. And so we save money aggressively. We don't have kids. And so that makes finances a little easier as far as saving money.
Yeah, that would.
We reached a point about a little more than 3 years ago where we said, you know, the markets have been good and we've reached the point where we're comfortable financially. And we retired a few years earlier than we expected. So.
And how old were you?
I was 55. Deb was 54.
Okay.
That's when we retired.
Yeah,
too,
we were both 54. So
wonderful. Oh,
okay. So, but my big question is, you guys live in Belgium. We're on Ingham Lake in Iowa.
Right now they live in Belgium.
Tell me, how did you get there? How did this become the goal, is to live, you know, in Europe?
Or wherever.
Or other places, even?
You know, in some ways it started years ago, Vienna, for me. I was in my 30s, and I took a job in Vienna, Austria, as a music teacher, and I lived there for 6 years. And, you know, a lot of my thinking changed towards how I was living my life. Like, for example, I would go into the office on Saturday or Sunday, or sometimes both days. You know, being a new teacher, I really wanted to stay on top of things.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember the first time I went to the office and said in Vienna, can I have the key for the weekend? And they looked at me like I was crazy and then said, well, it'll be $70,000 if you lose it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just freaked out and I said, I don't want that in my hands. And so it taught me early on, this was my third year of teaching, I do not want to, you know, be working on the weekends because obviously no one else did.
Yeah.
So it was that lifestyle, and it kind of trained you with your family. And so that whole thing set me up for when years later, when Tim and I, you know, said, okay, it's time to retire. I think both of us were like, well, we don't want to just settle in one place. You know, I wanted to go back overseas to Europe and live and travel. And he wanted, you know, he was talking about maybe Seattle. And then travel from there. And we both kind of came together after a couple of years of mulling it over and said, we don't want to own anything. We don't want to have to worry about anything because it's going to sit empty for a great time, you know, of the years. We just said, let's sell everything, including the house and the cars and everything in it, and let's just go on the road. And that has really worked well for us.
Okay, so you met in America, and you did have the typical, you know, two jobs and the house and all that. But when it got closer, you just decided to change your lifestyle totally. Is that right?
That's correct. We knew we didn't want to stay in Minnesota. We were both tired of the cold winters.
We wanted
a little more a variety, a little more things to do, I think, something different. But we had trouble deciding on what exactly that would be. As Deb mentioned, I was thinking someplace like Seattle as a home base and then travel extensively from there. Deb was thinking of doing the same thing, but maybe a home base in Europe. And while I was very comfortable with the idea of living in Europe, I was concerned about the tax implications and all of the other headaches that go along with that.
Right.
And if we had taken either of those approaches, we would have had an apartment that sat empty for maybe 5-6 months out of the year. And during that time, would have a car in the garage, would have heating bills and electric bills and all those things that go along with it that were, you know, for a place we're not even using.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah.
One day we said, you know, if we could live out of three duffel bags, we could just not have a permanent home and would save so much by not having that home. We could probably afford to be on the road full time.
Now, is that three duffel bags each or together?
That's between the two of us.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow. That's doing good. So so you sold things and you retired. Where has your journey taken you, I guess, in these last couple of years?
Well, you know, pre-COVID and post-COVID have made quite a difference for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But pre-COVID, we went I think it was pretty much straight to New Zealand from Seattle. And spent almost 6 months there because we knew we loved that place and wanted to hike in the South Island. So that was one of the longer places we stayed. And then from there, we worked our way around that area of the world. So we went to Niue, which is a little tiny Pacific island, and spent a month. And then we spent time in South Korea, Taiwan, we took some tours through Thailand and Vietnam and Cambodia, that whole area of the country. And we were three months in Malaysia, and we both realized, you know what, this weather is so hot. We were not comfortable. Each time we'd go out on the street, there'd be so much traffic and so many people. And for me, the smells were getting to me, so I was nauseous all the time.
Okay.
And so it just kind of said to us, you know what, I don't think we can take this kind of hot weather unless we're just doing a tour in and out and have the comfort of a, you know, air-conditioned van.
Right.
So we changed our traveling just a little bit there. And then after that, COVID hit. And so we happened to be in the States when it hit.
Okay.
And we did stay there for, how long was it on?
I think almost 5 months, hoping things would clear up and we could see our families, but also not overseas because everything got locked down.
Right. Yeah.
We had just stopped back in the States to visit friends and family, and then everything fell apart.
Oh, yeah.
So you're kind of new at this. This is, you know, the beginnings of this new lifestyle.
Well, that's correct. One thing Deb didn't mention is that after we left Minnesota, we spent 5 months in Seattle. Well, she mentioned briefly.
Okay.
We did that for a couple of reasons. One is to really get things figured out, you know, how we would travel and get all the details worked out. But secondly, because without doing that, Minnesota would happily tax us as residents for the rest of our lives.
Oh,
even
yeah.
Put in the state.
Yeah.
And so that gave us tax Washington State. And then, as you heard, we started, you know, heading towards the Eurasia area.
Okay.
So what parts of Europe are you calling short-term homes that you've been to?
We spent some time in Ireland, and that was right after COVID, because they were one of the few countries that would let us in, but we're really glad we did it. And then we've also spent time now in Brussels, and we're going to Gibraltar and maybe Morocco this winter, since it's so close to Gibraltar. And so, yeah.
Oh, cool.
That's on our list.
Yeah.
We have a foreign exchange daughter that lives in Spain, and we want to visit her. I've told Cindy next September I want to spend like the whole month in Spain, Portugal, Morocco, you know, that whole area.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself ever settling in one place in Europe, or do you think you'll continue living in the three bags? The duffel bags.
I'm sure at some point we'll want to settle down for health reasons or as we feel that this lifestyle is just too challenging. But we're hoping we can do this for 5 years, 10 years. Who knows?
Yeah, cool.
No, that's great. Do you ever plan on getting like come over Mexico, South America area?
Absolutely. We want to visit South America. We've already, during the time we lived in the States, we had taken trips down to South America, typically anywhere from 2 weeks to 4 weeks at a time. And we visited, Nicaragua, Belize, Mexico, some quieter spots in Mexico. What else? Costa Rica.
Cool. I want to spend time in Uruguay. It just looks beautiful.
Oh, it does. Yes.
Yeah. Ecuador, Peru, Argentina.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of.
Yeah,
nice looking places there.
Now, when you travel, I don't know, we've done a couple 2 week trips in Europe and Ireland, Scotland, and like that. And do you just wing it, or are you planned down to the detail? I mean, when we traveled in Ireland, I was finding the Airbnbs, you know, like 24 hours in advance on my phone. And, you know, you just kind of drive or wherever you go. We had a rental car there. Or are you pretty well planned out with like train passes and stuff like that, visas?
You know, other than we kind of get the general planning, like if we're going to want to stay in a place for 3 months, we'll get the first Airbnb for a month and a half, or, you know, maybe even all 3 months. So that'll be taken care of.
Okay.
And then lodging, it depends on, transportation. If we're in a big city, we like to just walk. So we tend to not, you know, rent a car or anything
right.
like that,
right.
or get on the subways. if we are driving, then we can, you know, be a little more free with our plans. So we kind of just have the big things planned out. And then when we get there, we figure it all out and say, okay, I want to go see this and you want to see that. And we just, you know, set out each day and do what we feel like.
Okay. And like you have travel visas, most countries will allow you in for what, 60, 90 days or?
It really varies by the country, but I would say the majority of them are typically a 90-day visa.
Okay.
So you can spend 90 days in the country and then 90 days out. And a lot of people aren't aware of it, but the Schengen zone covers much of Europe. And that's treated basically as one large country as far as visas go. So 90 days inside the Schengen zone, 90 days out. And there are some notable exceptions. The UK is not part of the Schengen zone, and neither are some of the Far East European countries like Albania and Montenegro.
Okay. The Schengen zone. Can you spell that for us?
S-C-H-E-N-G-E-N.
I'd never heard of that before. Thank you.
Yeah, it's important for anyone who wants to be here and travel around Europe more than 3 months. You need to be very careful about that.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's great advice.
Yeah, I've never heard that either. But we've never been gone that
long. Yeah, we don't go that long.
Right.
And, okay, like telephones. Do you have a phone that you change SIM cards out on or just stay incommunicado?
Well, we have to have that communication ability. It's our lifeline here. And what we have done is we are using the Google cell phone plans. We're actually running it on Apple phones. But Google Fi has a cell phone plan that works worldwide, and it's excellent for world travelers because you don't pay higher data rates outside the U.S. than you do inside.
Oh, nice.
Unfortunately, a year or so ago, they started cracking down on that if you are more or less permanently outside the U.S. So if you are, you know, based in the U.S., but you travel for 4 months to Europe or, you know, 6 weeks to America, the Google Fi plan will work great. But for us, they cut us off from the data portion of it.
Okay.
But we still need that. And so we use their plan for our phone numbers, and that also takes care of texting. And then we'll generally use electronic SIMs as the dual SIM phone for data wherever we are. And here in Europe, you can get an electronic SIM that covers all of the European countries for, I think it's $80 a year or so. It's very reasonable.
Okay.
So when you've been over, you know, like in the Eastern countries, like, you know, Thailand and all of those, the language is totally different. Do a lot of people speak English everywhere you go? Are you trying to find more English speaking countries, or are you learning new languages every time you get somewhere?
You know, we do our best when we go to a new country. It is quite easy to find English almost everywhere we've been.
Yeah.
And generally the younger generation, if you look to them, it's because they've just gotten out of school and most of their schools teach English. The older generations find it a bit harder, of course, to, you know, remember way back when they learned English. So we're thankful for those people trying, but then we also try and learn the basics of, you know, please, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the things that would just get you around for the day if you had to be on your own. And the other thing now is that Google Translate is amazing, where you've got the camera that you can read the menu. Just hold your camera up and it'll translate the menu for you. And, you know, if you're sitting someplace and you just can't read something, I'll whip up and look it up. So that helps a lot. But, you know, we just do our best to try to speak their language when we're there and do just the very basics. But now we're learning Portuguese because we have decided to become citizens of Portugal. And doesn't mean we're going to buy anything there or live there like a home, but we can invest in them. And that way we can get a resident visa, and we will be able to travel throughout the Schengen zone with less travel restrictions and be more like a EU member.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
Would Portugal like be your home base then, even though you don't buy anything, or?
You know, it might be. We spent last winter in Madeira, island off of the African in Portugal, and loved it. The people were amazing, and the hiking, of course, and the weather, everything was really lovely. But, you know, it might be that that'd be a place we retire someday.
Okay.
You retire or retire.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, right.
Settle exactly. down, I think the word is.
Settle down, that's it. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, when you're doing these travels, what's your budget look like, if you don't mind me asking? You know, I mean, you're...
Is it
you're,
comparable to living, you know, in 6 months in the United States, 6 months in Europe?
Yeah.
You know, having never lived 6 months in the U.S. and 6 months in Europe, I guess I can't say. I suspect if we had, let's say, a relatively inexpensive apartment in the United States in some place that wasn't prohibitive, like Seattle, that that would be about as expensive as traveling full time like we are. There's no getting around the fact that this is a fairly expensive way to travel. We probably spend 50% to 100% more than we did when we were living at home.
Okay.
But when we lived at home, our cars were paid for, our house was paid for.
Right.
We were spending a lot of money on, you know, remodeling the home or anything like that. So it's certainly not a cheap retirement or an expensive retirement, but it also depends a lot on where you go. I mean, if you want to spend more time in Thailand or Ecuador, you know, Norway, for example.
Yeah, I can see that, because I know, you know, definitely some countries are going to be much more expensive than others.
Yep.
So a rough estimate, would you think $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 a month, more or less?
I'm sure some people could manage it on $5,000 a month, but honestly, I think it could be challenging. You'd have to control which countries you go to. You'd have to do it without a car. It really depends on what you're looking for, I think.
Yeah.
Right. I know we interviewed a lady that retired in Mexico, and her whole catch was, you know, to retire in Mexico for $1,000 a month. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, that is amazing.
Wow.
But then again, you know, you're talking about the culture is different, housing's different, and she's by herself, and, you know.
Yeah.
But she loves it.
Yeah, she loves it. And different people have different, you know, standards of what they need to live successfully and the way they want to, you know. And I guess it depends on where you end up.
Absolutely. And what you desire, you know, what kind of things you want to do in your free time.
Do you guys do a lot of little micro adventures? Like in Brussels there, do you hike a lot, you say? But do you do things like overnight to other places or visit other hot spots?
Not so night or weekend getaways. I think we probably will do more of that once the COVID situation settles down a bit. We do tend to wander around a lot within a city. And, you know, in Brussels, for example, the city center, the main part of it is, 2.5 miles across, 3 miles across. So it's easy to walk anywhere in the city.
Right.
And right now we're down a few miles south of the city center next to a huge forest with, I'm guessing, hundreds of miles of hiking trails.
Oh, nice.
You know, that's a nice place to get out and walk around these days too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We can also just hop on a train. We have some plans to hop on a train and go out to Bruges for the day, go down to Waterloo, you know, so those kind of trips we do as well.
Okay. No, that's great. So in your travels so far, 3 years or whatever, what's your favorite place and why?
I think for the beauty of nature, the South Island of New Zealand is our favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The mountains, the hiking, the wildlife, glaciers, the flowers, it's just an amazing place.
I have to go there.
Yeah.
Okay. How about your least favorite?
You know, I think the lesson we learned was about ourselves when we were in Malaysia. It's not that everyone would not like Malaysia. We liked it, but realized we were suited to the heat, the smells, the amount of traffic. And so we just realized, okay, that's probably a place that we'd have to get on a tour bus and go see it that way rather than living there.
Yeah.
So based on that, After that, for example, we ended up doing I think it was about a 12 or 14 day boat cruise down one of the rivers through Cambodia and Vietnam. And it was frequent stops along the way to do various tours or, you know, special things. Mm-hmm. And I think there were maybe 20 couples on the boat. So a nice small, relatively small private group.
Okay.
But getting into a country, you know, seeing a lot in a very, we can manage the heat for 2 weeks, but then we'll head back out to someplace more comfortable for walking and hiking.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of those places don't have air conditioning, correct?
You know, we have basically said, okay, if we're living in a hot country, we have to have air conditioning.
Yeah.
So that would probably be one of my priorities. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm a very grumpy girl. So.
Oh, I have traveled, you know, like when one time I was in Rome, and of course the hotel that we were in had no air conditioning, and I swear it had to be the hottest day of the year, you know, and
yeah.
No elevator either, and we're, you know,
no.
Four flights up, and I'm like, oh.
Hey, when in Rome, do as the Romans.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you get back to the States occasionally? I mean, I know you were back a little bit ago, COVID and all that, but once you get going in your groove, I think, do you plan on, like, you know, okay, once a 1 month a year, come back to the States, visit family and friends?
Yes. You know, it might not be a month, but I have family, and Tim has family in the Midwest, and a bunch of friends that we left behind. So I would love to ideally be back once a year and spend some good time with them. It might end up being a little longer than a year sometimes, like COVID came up, but that would be my goal, is to be able to see my folks and my family still.
Yeah.
Do they ever come visit you where you're at?
You know, they did for years. Like when I was teaching in Vienna, I had quite a few visitors from my family. But now that they're a little older, that would be impossible.
Yeah.
But we're hoping someday we'll have more friends. And that's part of the reason we did the website, was that people could say, oh, they're in part of the country I'd like to see, and, you know, come meet up with us. So
yeah,
that'd be great. Yeah,
that would be good. So do you ever get tired of, I guess, this lifestyle that you're in right now?
You know, there are times we find it challenging, or there are things we don't like about it.
Mm-hmm.
But we think that would be true also of any lifestyle we had.
So true.
And we honestly can't think of anything we would rather do more at this point. Probably one of our concerns is that it's going to be very hard for us, because we've gotten very spoiled by chasing good weather around the world. We tend to visit every place, you know, when mid-50s to mid-70s,
nice.
Let's say.
Yeah.
We spent a year seeing fall colors around the world.
Oh,
one
wow.
Year.
Wow, yeah.
Well, Minnesota's out then for a long term.
Yes.
Although the colors are real nice right now.
They are, I've heard, yeah.
And we also like sort of bouncing back and forth between 2-3 months, you know, someplace where we can do a lot of hiking and really explore the wildlife and see mountains. And then we're in the city where we get to see museums and try out interesting restaurants and follow interesting cobblestone paths. And it's so nice being able to back and forth.
Yeah, that was something I wanted to ask you. I mean, filling your days, you get up, you do walks, you do hikes, you, I imagine, read books. I don't know.
Yep, all of those.
Okay.
Yeah, study Portuguese.
Go to museums.
Do you feel like a tourist or like a resident?
I feel more like a resident. I feel like this is home. Each new place we go to, it truly does become our home. And we just go out from there each day and find a new adventure and come back, and we've got home again. So
that's wonderful.
And like the Airbnb, do you go Airbnb usually, or do you look for an apartment? How do you do your housing? For, let's say, like 3 months, if you're going to be there for the 90 days.
I would say the majority of it is through Airbnb with, you know, there are a couple other sites like VRBO and related sites that provide, you know, short to medium term bookings. Honestly, it's pretty hard to get short-term rentals in a local market without having a presence in that city and having a bank account and maybe utility bills or something to be able to work with them.
Okay.
So on a couple of occasions, we've been able to rent directly from a homeowner, for example, who has an apartment.
Oh, okay.
But typically, CB is where we would end up staying.
Yeah.
And it's certainly our biggest cost of what we are doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It always will be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But any place we stay is going to be probably twice as expensive as if you were able to rent it on a 6 month or 12 month lease.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That's
yeah,
it. Here
it does. Yeah. Okay. We're getting near the end here. You have a blog and a website. Could you tell us a little bit about that so people could follow you?
Yeah, it's called wanderingwith.com.
Okay.
Just basically like you're wandering with us.
Okay.
But just wanderingwith.com.
I wish.
Well, we wish we have more people coming to visit us too. So anytime you see something that looks interesting, we'd love to have you. But we basically set it up for my family and our families back home so that they could just follow us and know where we were and see some of the pictures rather than us emailing them all the time.
Okay.
And it's, you know, turned into be, you know, we've realized that our communities back in our hometowns are following a bit more. And, you know, I always post on Facebook, hey, there's a new post on Wandering With, and then get quite a few people from there. So it's kind of fun that others have been interested in it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know I've been on there, and it's just pictures are always so encouraging. And so, you know, they just draw you in and you're like, oh, it gives you something to dream about and plan for, you know.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Definitely Tim. He's a good photographer. So
yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank you for joining us. This has been wonderful. You got a great adventure going in your retirement.
Oh, yeah. Too cool.
Well, thank you.
I just got to ask one more question. What's your hell no moment? The part that you know.
The worst thing that's happened to you.
That, I think, would have to be Malaysia.
Yeah, I think when we were in Malaysia, I got robbed by a couple of gents on a motorcycle. They came by and stole my purse, which was across my body, right off my body. So everything, passport, phone, key, you know, just, you know, all my IDs. They only got like $8, so I was happy about that. But it took us almost a year, I think it was, to get everything back and instated because we weren't even in the state.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
Yeah, that was a hard one.
That does sound bad. Okay, and what about your You Betcha, best thing about it, your adventure?
There's always something different. It's amazing how spoiled we get where we will be wandering around a city and say, you know, I know I've been down this road or this path three or four.
Yeah, so cool.
It's like, ah, we ought to go find something new. And then also discovering just gems of cities or museums or, well, Seoul, Korea, for example, is a place that is one of our favorites for an urban environment. That, I think, is our highlight. And we were expecting to find it interesting, but we weren't expecting to just fall in love with it. But the people are wonderful. The food is amazing. Their culture and history are fascinating. And they love their history. They have so many history museums, art museums, a fascinating place to visit.
Yeah,
and we do
really
need to get back there
I
as soon as we can.
I had a student that came from South Korea, and they loved it, you know, and it was wonderful to learn about it. So
well, thank
cool.
you. We appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, you've have a great retirement going, and I am so happy that you are enjoying every minute of it.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, and it was fun to be here with you today.
Thank you very much. You have a great time out there.
Yep. Yes, thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Well, that was another great adventure.
Oh, yeah. I was so glad that I, you know, got that connection to Deb because it was so easy to talk to them.
They sound like, I don't know, happy wanderers. Yeah, it is. I would do that in a second. But
I know, three duffel bags and everything in there, and then you just go.
You know, I got no problems with it. One pair of underwear, I'm
no,
good to go.
No, yeah,
okay,
no,
two.
That would
we
not,
could do two.
Okay, do not even go there. Okay. But it's just, you know, they're doing it. They're living their best life. They are finding a new normal for them. It's just...
It might not be for everybody, but it's what they wanted to do.
Oh, I
and,
think it's great.
Yeah, I think it sounds wonderful.
And I love that they have, you know, gone to so many places already.
Yeah.
You know, just talking to all those different countries.
And they got a lot more to see, I'm
oh,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us. You can always check out our podcast wherever you get your podcast, Stitcher, Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcast, we're everywhere.
We have a Facebook page.
We have the Facebook page. You can check out our website, adventureretired.com, and you can email us directly because we're always looking for guests. adventureretired@gmail.com.
Yes, we need more guests.
We always need more guests.
In fact, I'm looking really hard to find somebody who has retired to Florida, you know, whether it's
the villages or
the villages
something like that.
Or part-time, you know, half of the year there or even 3 months there. You know, if you know somebody that's got a Florida connection, man, get a hold of us.
Yeah. The adventures are everywhere. We saw the largest frying pan in Iowa this weekend on our way to an NCAA diving meet.
It was in Brandon, Iowa.
Brandon, Iowa.
But it really was not that long. There was no bacon or eggs in it.
Yeah. Yeah, a friend of mine said, well, that's not much of a micro-adventure. I said, true, but it is a mini-adventure. It was a roadside stop, you know? It's the little things that make life fun.
It was a good place to stretch your legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us. I love you, Cindy.
I love you more.
And that's the kids that loved you. Yeah, that's the kids that loved you.